Hey all, thank you for tuning into Women Birders Happy Hour. My name is Hannah. I'm a birder, a woman, and someone that enjoys a good drink after a long day of birding. Women have been integral to birding since it started, but we haven't always been recognized for the contributions and impact we have. Men have dominated the guiding scene, festival circuit, leadership positions, and publications. And according to a U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service 2011 report, in the U.S., there were over 47 million birders. The majority of these birders are college-educated, they are white, they are women, and mostly are over the age of 55. And if you put all these factors together, we create the typical birder, a white, college-educated woman over the age of 55. And that's a demographic that I often see out birding, but I don't as frequently see as a speaker, a guide, or a sole publisher. Additionally, the voices of all women, BIPOC, and LGBTQ+ birders are not well represented in the birding voices we hear from. So I created this show to bring in more voices. Not to say that some of the regular festival keynotes aren't great, but there is room for others. And on the show, I'm asking everyday women from all walks of life to join me to discuss their experiences, their resources, and advice that they have for others. And I want you to remember that just because you may not have experienced some of these things, like sexism or gatekeeping, doesn't mean that they aren't real issues that others face. And because some of these conversations are best had over a cocktail or a mocktail, I also create a unique cocktail for each guest in case you want to mix yourself a drink and join us for this chat. Jen is a great advocate for birders from all walks of life and works to coordinate one of the best birding festivals in the U.S. She's also an artist and plays incredible music that is sometimes inspired by the birds. So although it's a non-native species in Southern California, red-crowned parrots can be seen and heard all around and often attract the attention of non-birders, potentially recruiting them into our hobby. They are a green parrot with a bright red forehead and crown with dark blue behind that, a white eye ring that makes their eyes more prominent, and their bills are a light yellow to ivory color, and they have gray legs. They measure in at about 13 inches long, and males and females cannot be differentiated by plumage. They're native to northeastern Mexico and possibly into the tip of South Texas. They're non-migratory, but they can wander. Non-native populations occur in urban areas of Southern California, Florida, and even on Oahu and Hawaii. In 2019, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service announced that they do consider red-crowned parrots native to the Rio Grande Valley, but not everyone sees it that way. The individuals in the San Diego area are present due to captured birds escaping in the 1960s, and that population size is now exceeding the wild population that exists in its native range in Mexico. Red-crowned parrots are often found in large flocks in the morning and evening when they are loud and screeching, traveling to and from feeding or roosting areas. And they feed on seeds, fruits, flowers, and nectar. And these parrots will mate for life and return to the same nest in tree cavities to breed, which they find those cavities near others, individuals, and form colonies. And the female incubates the four eggs for almost a month, and then the juveniles fledge about 2 months later with care from the parents. So here's how you make your red-crowned parrot. What you need is 1.5 ounces of Midori liqueur, 3/4 of an ounce of lemon juice, 3/4 of an ounce of simple syrup, 1/2 ounce of orange liqueur, and 1/2 ounce of pomegranate liqueur, and ice. So your instructions are to add the ice, Midori, lemon juice, simple syrup, and orange juice to a shaker, shake, 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 strain it into a glass, and then top it with that pomegranate liqueur. The colors of this cocktail represent the red-crowned parrots and their vibrant plumage, and there is an overuse of fruit juices for one of their main food sources. And it's a flavorful drink that is perfect for sipping at sunset as the parrots fly about looking for their nightly roost. So please join me in a drink and learn more about Jen. Well, I'm so excited to welcome Jen to my podcast, Women Birders Happy Hour. I've known Jen for a couple of years, and so I'm excited to share all of your experience and stories and advice with everyone. But first off, Jen, would you tell us who you are?
Yeah, sure. thanks for having me on. I am the public programs coordinator at San Diego Audubon Society. I've been doing that for just a couple of years. Prior to that, I worked as a contractor and was the coordinator for the San Diego Bird Festival. So I still do the coordination for the San Diego Bird Festival, but I also do other events throughout the year. And the expectation is that I make every day a festival in San Diego.
That's probably pretty easy to do. There's so much going on in San Diego and a lot of people that come to bird it. I imagine there's so many opportunities.
Yeah, all you have to do is go outside.
So, how did you get started with birding?
I got started with birding. I always loved parrots. And when I was a kid, if there was a book to buy, if there was, something to check out at the library, I just was kind of obsessed with parrots for a while. And begged my parents for a parakeet every day and stuff like that. So I always loved them. And then when I grew up, I had a parrot for a pet, and I was working in this really stressful recruiting job, and I got laid off, and it just kind of devastated me because I was like, oh gosh, this is what I've been trained to do, and I'm not doing it anymore, and I don't want to do it anymore, and I don't know what to do with myself. Because I didn't think I had any skills. I didn't think that I was, worth anything to anybody. And I was looking in the newspaper because that's what you did when you were looking for jobs in the day. And I found an ad in the wrong place. It was a cashier position, but it was not under cashier. It was under Tracy Aviary, which was a bird zoo. It is a bird zoo. It's still around. It located in Salt Lake City, where I was. And that piqued my interest. It's like, oh, it's that bird zoo. They have parrots. That might be a really cool place to work. And so I applied for the cashier position. I did not bring a resume with me. I did not tell them that I had any experience doing anything before. I didn't even tell them I had a degree in biology. I was just some girl coming in off the street who wanted to be a cashier at a bird zoo. And they hired me. And over the 6 years that I worked there, I learned everything that I know about birds. I learned how to be a birder. I learned about bird behavior. I learned to I just absolutely love birds and bird behavior. And decided that I wanted to make it my career.
Well, that's very cool. I had no idea that that's how you got into it. That's amazing. So, one thing that we neglected to mention is that you're also a musician too. So, do you have bird music that you do?
Almost all of my songs have birds that show up in them. And if you want to check that out, you can find me on jenhajj.com. That's JenHajj.com. And I have a couple of new releases that I've been putting out over time. The one that I'm working on right now, it's a song called Shade, and I'm really proud of it. It's going to be so beautiful. I'm probably going to be releasing that in the next couple of weeks, and it's got a bird in it. It's like a surprise bird. So if you hear it, you can practice your birding by ear skills, and you can find me and tell me what bird I put in my song.
That's very cool. I love that. So, when you go out and go birding, what does a day of birding look like for you?
Birding looks different for me now than it used to. I used to, get really excited about it and go running out and, see all the birds that I can and name all the birds that I can and stop people on the trail and point out every bird that I see. And I'm a little bit more personal about it now. I will sometimes when I'm having my coffee in the morning, I'll do my 15 birds before breakfast, where I just listen. And I use Merlin to help me to identify the sounds that I'm hearing. And I look for the birds that are making those sounds. About 2 years ago, I moved to Arkansas, and I've lived in the middle of the sticks in the Ozarks. And my house is surrounded by national forest and agricultural land. So we've got a lot of really cool birds here, flitting through, just year round. It changes all the time because of migration patterns. And every year it's been a little bit different too, which is really interesting. Like today, I'm noticing swallows. Like, where did all these? I didn't notice swallows last year, but here they are. There's swallows. That's what birding looks like to me now. And I keep it much more to myself than I ever did.
So you moved from San Diego to Arkansas. Do you feel like the migration is a lot more pronounced where you're at now than in San Diego?
It's all just different birds. I mean, we don't get shorebirds here in Arkansas. Well, the killdeer, there are killdeer here. But I don't see willets and whimbrels and long-billed curlews. A lot of passerines. And I think that there's probably a lot of flyover of birds, especially in the spring and the fall, that was kind of unnoticed. Because it's very rural out here and people aren't really thinking about that. So, I kind of dream that it would be fun to put up like a Modus station or something and, contribute to the science and, then to the understanding of how this Midwestern flyway is being used.
Yeah, that'd be super cool. So you mentioned the Tracy Aviary, but who or what has been the most influential to your birding?
Oh gosh. There were a few people in Salt Lake City who were really influential for me. There were a couple of people who worked at the aviary who sort of modeled birding to me. I went on a trip with some of them. We went to Argentina because we were looking at a place we wanted to depict in an exhibit, and we all decided to do our personal vacations there. And they were all birders, and I wasn't really a birder at the time. I was working at the aviary because I love parrots, but I wasn't a birder yet. And they were looking at things, and they were like, wow, all the time, and I'm like, what are you looking at? And so, they let me borrow their binoculars, and I was kind of hooked. So that was Liz Rank and Patty Shreve and her husband David. There was oh gosh, a couple of people from the Department of Natural Resources in Utah who were really formative for me, Bob Walters and his work that he was doing with peregrine falcons. Bernadette Player from the Cincinnati Zoo, who was working on a project to bring blue and gold macaws back to Trinidad. They had been extirpated from Trinidad back in the 1960s. And Bernadette went away to school. They were still there. She came back, they were gone. And she's like, I want to help with this. And she made it her personal mission to bring blue and gold macaws back. And she did it with tremendous success. And she understood that you need to work with the people and take away the human things that are causing the problems for the species. If you just make more blue and gold macaws and you put them back into the same situation where they're being poached, and where people are starting fires that are causing, habitat loss, you're not going to make it any better. And so that was a really valuable lesson, and a really high point, for me in my learning curve.
Well, that's super cool. Yeah, it's fascinating work, and that you got to experience, some of that is just amazing.
Yeah, it was a life-changing thing for me, for sure.
Very cool. So, what has your experience been as a woman birder?
I've always been a very passionate person, And so when I really like something, I let everyone know, what? This is great. And I sometimes I think that my enthusiasm is a little big for the group that I might be in. And certain male birders within some of those groups have, kind of let me know that whatever it was I was doing was not appropriate. That I was being loud, that I was being too bright, too shiny for the space. I've got to be small, and I've got to be unnoticeable, so that that we can see all the birds that are here. I've been elbowed out of the way a couple times, by people who were also excited to see what there was to see. Is it because I'm a woman? Is it because I don't know. It's easy to think that maybe it is. And I think that people are starting to be more respectful now, and to be aware that there are many people who are looking for an experience here, and there's enough for everyone. We don't have to be, stingy about how we share an experience with others. And I'm very happy that there are spaces that are reserved for people who tend to be left on the fringe, so that we can build skill and find ways to push forward and become the leaders for tomorrow. Where we have not been given that opportunity in the past. And it's not just women, that's also people of color. It's people with disabilities. It's anybody who is not the typical birder, whatever that means.
Yeah, definitely. Not so much like the cookie cutter, like white male birder, allowing for personalities and different abilities. And yeah, I think that's great. And that we're starting to move towards that more.
It's a very just encouraging and beautiful time.
Definitely. So on that, how do you think we can be more supportive of beginner birders?
I think we all have to remember that we started somewhere. And remember, again, there is enough for everyone. And also, not everyone comes to the table with the same knowledge that we have. So, to point out, to show off the beautiful thing that's ahead of you, the sense of wonder, and share it, and then give people a chance to see and make meaning of that for themselves. That they should have the ability to also say something about what they see, and share what they know about it, if anything, or ask their questions if they don't,
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I really like about the San Diego Bird Festival is that things feel so approachable, especially like the estuary walk in the afternoon at the festival. It's kind of everybody join in, and it's kind of a big just let's go out to the estuary and have a party and look at birds. It feels very approachable and able to ask questions, and there's a lot of guides that go to it. So yeah, I think there's a lot of things that y'all are doing right to help encourage more beginners.
Thank you. And that walk just, I'm not sure that we planned it that way, that it would be that way. It used to be difficult to staff. because we have a lot of we've got a nice group of leaders, but not all of them are interested in coming to just do this like 1 hour experience, and so we've just kind of built it so that it's like, okay, if you know something, show up. If you want to know something, show up. And so everybody goes. And it sometimes it's like 50 people. And they kind of break into their own little groups, and it always finds its rhythm. You just let it be, and it becomes a nice experience for everyone.
Definitely. So you touch the birding community in a couple different ways with your music and with your role and the other things that you do, with your property that you guys have and that you'll set up a MODIS station eventually. Do you feel that you've found your place in the birding community?
I found where I want to be in the birding community. I really truly love doing the festival. I love giving birders opportunities to do what they love. I love birders. We're so kooky. We're smart. We love animals, and we love habitat, and some of us are very conservation minded, and we're just so kooky. And yeah, we're just kooky. I love other festival coordinators. I meet on a regular basis with other people who organize festivals, and we talk about what can we do better? How do we make this something that's memorable and amazing, and that brings more people in? And I feel that that's just a unique way for me to do what I do. I think about other jobs, and I think about other things that I could be doing with my life, and it's like, yeah, none of that feels like it's me. Working with the Bird Festival and working within birding just feels very much like me.
Well, that's great. I'm glad you found your place. So, what has been your most memorable bird or birding experience?
Oh gosh. Yeah, that's a hard one. I guess one that's quite memorable for me is when I was down in Argentina. We went to the Quebrada de los Condoritos, the Canyon of the Little Condors. They're not little, but it's just kind of cute that they get cutesy with their names. We went on a long drive into this canyon looking for them, and it was just a beautiful day, and it was my first chance to see condors out in the wild, and we did see them, and it was just a nice opportunity and a good chance to be with lovely people. We met Enrique Bucher on that trip. He's a professor, I believe, down at the college down there in Cordoba, and he's a wonderful person. I haven't really kept up with him, but we had a really good time with him on that day, getting to know the concerns that they deal with in that area, and about the conservation work that's being done, and that the health of the condor population down there was really pretty good, compared to some of the other places where they were found. Talking about the reasons for that, it was just a beautiful learning experience, and getting to see the birds too was just on top of that was amazing. And we had the most amazing corn stew in this little restaurant up there, like on top of a big rock. Just all together, it's all the things that you want, right? Birds and good people and good food.
That's the dream.
Living the dream.
So, where's a place that you think every birder should try to go?
Their own 5 mile radius. Because birds are in trouble, we've lost so many birds just since the 1970s. What, like a third of all birds that we've had have not been replaced. They're not keeping up with human activity and the threats that we introduce into their environments. I think it's really important that as humans, we go out often and inventory what we have around us, and that we love it. That we know if we have robins nesting in our trees, or house finches in our eaves, or anything like that. And if you don't get out where you live, you don't see it. It's not important to you. Birds and nature are not something that just happen somewhere else. I mean, they do, but they also happen here where we are with our lifestyles and what we do in our day-to-day lives. And so, yeah, as a birder, you should walk your neighborhood.
Yeah, that's great advice. So we kind of mentioned it already, but what changes would you like to see in the birding community?
I would like to see more people out and about doing, appreciating, helping, conserving, and acting like we're part of a web of life. And I think that as birders, we need to be activists.
Okay, and then my last question for you is, what has been the most valuable thing that you've learned from birding?
A lot of really cool things. I mean, at first it was all just about, stuffing my head with knowledge, and bird behavior and, names. And now it's more about thinking about others and paving a path for others to be involved and to love and to share their journey. And to bring in the people who are usually excluded, I find that learning how to do that right now is mind-blowing for me. It's life-changing for me, and it's a big lesson, and it's a bigger lesson. It's more important than knowing the name of a bird. Is knowing the pain of other humans and doing what you can to help.
Well, Jen, thank you so much for sharing your advice and experiences and everything with us. If folks want to find out more about you and the cool things that you do, how is a good way to do that?
You can find me at San Diego Audubon, Haj@sandiegoaudubon.org. Although we're changing our name, so that will probably change, but I don't know what we're changing it to. So that'll work for now. If you're interested in my music, it's jenhodge@yahoo.com. And yeah, check out my website, check out my music. It's fun. You'll like it. If you like birds, if you like nature, if you like naps, you'll like my music.
Well, great. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
So, Jen, thank you so much for joining me. It was so much fun to learn about you and the cool things that you do. We've known each other for a while, and so it's nice to actually sit down and learn more about you. And thank you all for listening to my podcast. I hope you enjoyed it and maybe learned something. You can rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Music, and anywhere else you listen to me. If you'd like to connect with me on the socials, you can follow me at Hannah Goes Birding on Instagram. My Twitter is at WomenBirdersHH, or you can email me at HannahandEricGoBirding@gmail.com. I have other resources and information on GoBirdingPodcast.com. I hope you enjoyed this chat, and I look forward to seeing you at the next happy hour.